Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
You know, by the way, what a multi-potentialite is. It's somebody with many, many interests and creative pursuits, and one of those is Simon Delaney. Welcome, Simon.
A jack of all trades, a master of none.
Well, multi-potentialite.
Well, I'll take that.
Use that in the future. Actor, presenter, van driver. I've discovered this along the way. We'll talk about that. Chef. And now a crime writer. And you're here to tell us about Watching Over You.
I am.
We've been talking about horror. It's from a time of horror, of course.
Yeah,
World War II,
yeah.
Because there's a lot going on with Nazis. Also some chefing as well.
Yeah.
And it's one of those sprawling timeline stories.
It is. It's epic. Yeah, it's a bit epic.
Difficult to write, I'd imagine, and probably to edit as well. So, we'll start with the novel and we'll do your life story afterwards.
Right, okay. Have we time?
Watching Over You. How would you describe it?
So it's crime fiction, historical fiction, and it's a caper. It centres around a collection of six paintings that were stolen during the Second World War in Paris, 1942. So the book kind of follows the journey of the six paintings. And the theme of the book is restitution, which is that thing of finding something and returning it back to its rightful owner. And there are organisations out there like the Monuments Men, still in existence, that are still doing that work, still finding these works of art.
I like that film. I thought immediately of it.
And a true story.
It's a good long time ago.
It's amazing. And I've always been kind of interested in World War I and World War II and military history. And I've always been interested in the art underworld and con men and...
Yeah.
So that's kind of
smuggled
where the idea.
Paintings.
Exactly, yeah.
And particularly where, because there are a lot of them, as you say, still missing. So this there is where
there's loads still out there. There are still works from the great masters that are still out there.
It's a black market exchange.
It's incredible. And that's what
darker
the book kind
darker.
Of thing. Yeah, the book kind of touches on that because.
Nazi loot.
Yeah, Hitler's lost gold. I mean, I eat up all those documentaries that are on Discovery about these organisations that are still looking for stuff. Mm. And they're convinced that there are billions still out there. So that's kind of where the seed of the idea came from. But originally it was a screenplay for a movie, which I'd written about 10 years ago. And then during COVID, during those halcyon days of lockdown and homeschooling and all that, I thought, I'll get another project in the go. And I thought, well, I'll write it out as a full screenplay because it was only a one-page treatment. And when I started writing it, I thought, no, it's bigger. I said, I wonder, is it a book? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, why not give it a go? And then 6 weeks later and 125,000 words later.
Oh, my God.
There it was in front of me.
And Camille, you got an American publisher.
Yeah, well, what I did was when I finished the book, I thought, well, there it is. Now what do I do with it? And of course, having read scripts all my life, and I thought, well, the first thing it needs to be edited. So I joined this brilliant writing forum called writing.ie. It was 35, 40 quid to join for the year. And it's a resource for new writers. And there were all sorts of services on it, message boards and support groups. Brilliant, brilliant resource. And I saw a drop-down menu where you could hire editors. I thought, well, that's what I should do. So I went on there and I found this writer, Anthony J. Quinn, who's a best-selling crime novelist himself. He teaches in Queen's University in Belfast. But he's written 7, 8 different books, crime fiction, as I say. And I thought, well, I'll ask him. So I emailed him. I said, will you edit my book? He said, well, I will. I said, but I'll only edit it if I like it. Mm. And I charge this much, whatever. So I sent him the first 3 chapters. He emailed back, said, yeah, love it. Okay. So we spent a year then editing the book. He did a first pass, but then sent me 120 pages of notes, which I then worked on while I was in Spain during lockdown, shooting a Western. Bizarre. So I was sitting on the terrace on my own because nothing was open during COVID, of course, and did the notes. And then a year later, I had it finished. And I said, John, well, great. Now it's finished. Now what do we do?
That was an interesting route to go.
Yeah, because I knew I couldn't edit it myself, not being an editor. And I thought I need professional help and advice. And he was the man. And he became my kind of mentor then through the process. And I finished the edit. And then I said, what do I do now? He said, well, now you need a literary agent. I said, well, I have 2 agents and a manager. Do I need another? He said, yeah, you do.
Yet another agent.
So I wrote to every literary agent I could find in Ireland, the UK, North America, Canada, Asia, every one of them. And eventually one got back to me, who's Caroline Busher's agent based in Colorado. She reps a lot of Irish writers. She sent me the book, sent it to her. She said, yeah, I'll represent it. I said, brilliant. Now what do we do? She said, well, now we have to get a publishing deal. So 2 years later, we eventually got a publishing deal with the lovely people in Rare Bird over in Los Angeles.
Right.
And And here it is.
Did you have to jet in to sign a big contract?
No, I didn't. No. God bless the international emails and all that. Yeah. No.
DocuSign.
Didn't get as far as the... Yeah, DocuSign.
What happened to Dave's? It used to be a big brunch.
I remember when I signed for UTA in Beverly Hills. I was over there doing a movie and I'd...
What was the movie?
The movie was Delivery Man with Vince Vaughn.
Oh, good. Okay.
And I signed with UTA and I remember going to the head office in Beverly Hills. And the day I signed... I was brought to this conference room and it was a catered event. A catered event. And there were like 20, I have a photograph
this
of my phone.
This is how we imagine the movies.
There were like 25 agents around the table. I'm at the top of the table with my Irish agent who come with me, my manager from New York. I felt like I was signing for Manchester United. And I signed, it's amazing. But no, with this publisher, they just sent me the old DocuSign. Done. Yeah, you're in. And here we are.
But it's out.
It's out, thank God, 5 years later.
Okay, you're nervous now about reviews. People of note will get reviewed.
I know, listen, I'm in a business where I get reviewed all the time, you know, doing plays,
true, and, yeah.
You know, films and all that. So, look, any actor who tells you they don't read reviews is lying, because they do. Everybody does. And you take the good reviews with the bad. So I don't mind. It's out there now. I put it out there. Exactly. So
I always think you're one of these people, oh, I know everything about Simon Delaney. But actually, now that you're across me, I don't think I know very much at all.
Oh, okay.
Where was home for you? Where did you grow up?
Home was Raheny. Well, Raheny, if you were applying for a job, Coolock, if you were signing on. And if you're in a fight, it was even more. So, yeah, I'm a true blue Northside Dub.
And you must have been growing up in the Charlie Haughey era then up around
He was down the road in Kinsealy, yeah. I remember the famous speech he delivered from horseback about tightening your belts from his estate in Kinsealy. Well, my father was on his backside.
He totally got away with that
having
for
been
a
fired,
very long
having
time.
Lost his job, you know. Yeah, he was only down the road, yeah.
And you were in a fairly big family?
Four of us, yeah. I have a brother and two sisters. But we lost our parents fairly young. I was only 19 when my mum died. She was only 50 years old. And then my dad died 7 years later. So we were without them. I had a relatively young age, you know.
Were you the oldest of the crop?
No, I was the oldest boy. So I have an older sister, Sarah, who was working at the time. I had become an actor, so I was resting.
Okay.
My brother was in college and my younger sister was still in secondary school. So
suddenly you were a family without parents.
Yeah, we had to get on with it. So that's when my love of cooking started, because I was the one who was at home, so I cooked for them all.
Is that right?
Yeah. And we just kind of got on with it. Yeah, it was very strange.
Was there time to stop and grieve at all and talk to each
other? Oh, there was, yeah. We're very close, and we always were anyway, but we're still very close. I mean, I talk to my sisters, my brother every day, no matter where I am or they are, you know. And we're a great sport. And we had my grandparents were still alive, like, you know, my mum's parents were still alive, and they were amazing for us. But it was tough. It was rough, you know, and I was only 26. So
you grew up very quickly.
Very quickly, yeah. You have no choice, Oliver, you know, you get on with it. So, yeah, we kind of stuck together. We put our heads down. My brother went off to college, then he went over to Germany to work, and my sister went into the workforce. And we're all still talking to each other.
Yeah. You were driving a van at one stage, were you,
to keep
the bills going?
Yeah, I drove a van. I was a sales rep for kind of 8 years then, and sold everything very badly.
What were you selling?
Everything. Office equipment, car insurance, portraits. My first job was selling portraits on behalf of an artist. Can you imagine? I used to go into this office in Dame Street every morning, and we'd get £2.50, pounds, not euro.
God, yeah.
And an index card with a list of streets that you were to do that day.
The grind.
And you were knocking on a hall door saying, would you like your portrait done?
I can see you've been really good.
Well, the first week I was sent out to Darndale.
Yes.
So I was in Buttercup Court and, you know, and I was knocking on people's doors saying, would you like your portrait with me, ma? I only did that for a couple of weeks, but I did everything. I've done everything.
I wonder, are there portraits sold by Simon Delaney still hanging?
Well, that would be. Yeah. That could very well be. They must be worth tens of euros at this stage.
Fives.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, that was very sad, though. And obviously, this is why I think you do so many jobs now, because you have quite a few kids yourself now.
Myself and Lisa have four boys, yeah. I mean, one thing I got from my dad was work ethic. My dad was a printer by trade, but he was in the show bands as well. He played the sax and clarinet, and he was a singer. Oh, yeah. So he was double jobbing, you know. So
he was a multi-potentialite.
Correct, Amundo, yeah, before it existed. Yeah, so I think I got my work ethic from him. And there's no doubt about it, if you want to survive as a freelancer, particularly in Ireland, you have to do lots of things. So that's why I did plays and pantos and musicals back in the day. And then I moved into directing stuff, and then television came knocking. So I did that. And so you kind of have to keep a lot of plates spinning. Because we're a single income household with four boys.
You're doing lots of exciting things this year.
Yes.
But we're going to hold the thought, and we'll come back after a handful of messages. So take a gulp of water there. We'll be back shortly.
I will.
We're back. Simon Delaney is still with us. A couple of messages, actually. Simon was brilliant in trivia on RTE many years ago. This is Frank in Dublin.
Merciful.
Calling many of your old jobs.
That's a long time ago.
Just not that old. Welcome to Simon. Are you sure you're in that? Well, onto your that Sunday afternoon with Simon Delaney on Lyric, which is still relatively new to you.
That's right, since March.
That's from Joan. Someone loved you on TV3 because you did 7 years, didn't you, on
Seven
Ireland?
7 years of Ireland, yeah.
Listened to you on the radio as well. I'm so glad he's been true to himself and not got sucked in with all the madness of Hollywood and being there for himself and his wife, and that's for Maria in West Cork. Because you've had the pull of Hollywood, you had The Good Wife, which was a lovely
thing. Yeah, I've done quite a few bits and pieces over there. Did The Conjuring 2, Delivery Man.
I love those films.
Horror films.
Yeah, Conjuring particular.
No. I've only ever watched one horror film in my life.
Are you serious?
And it was The Conjuring 2. Because I introduced the Irish premiere of it, and it frightened the bejesus.
But it's kind of based on those real life.
Elizabeth Warren and Ed Warren. No.
But was there one time you got a call and you were expecting about 7 years of Hollywood TV, big TV network show?
Yeah, this is, most actors will tell you this story, but yeah, I was asked to audition for ABC. We're doing a remake of this Scandinavian drama, really heavy stuff, brilliant script, making a pilot. I taped for it at home. Did a self-tape. My manager in New York got back to me and said, they love the tape. They want to bring you over and screen test you to LA. And I'd never done a screen test.
I'd seen it on Entourage, but
I'd never done one. So the night before I left, I had to sign a 7-year contract.
Oh my God.
Because they've got stung over the years, if an actor signs in for a series for the first season and they got paid X, and then it's a hit, next year they want
like
10
Friends,
times
that. Where they'd pay them a million per episode.
So now you sign...
Seven years out,
your incremental increase.
So for you, that's 7 years of work.
I was signing this multi-million-dollar contract, which didn't exist because the show didn't even exist. It was for a pilot. Anyway, I flew over to LA, ABC Studios, went in, met the director, into like a little theatre on stage, three cameras, an actor reading opposite you, a room full of people in suits, producers, network people. And I did 2.5-3 hours in and out of the room. Couple of scenes, and I rang my manager in New York, said, how close am I to this? She said, well, you're probably down to the last 10. Oof. And I said, well, what happens now? She said, well, they take the tapes and they go to network. If you survive that, it'll go to studio and then you're in. So the following day, my manager rings and said, yeah, you've got past network, it's gone to studio. You're probably down to the last 5 now. Following day, yeah, you got through, you're down to network. You're down to the last 2. And I remember staying in a friend's apartment in downtown LA. And standing out on the balcony and thinking that somewhere in LA there's another fella standing on the balcony going, wonder who it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, next day I got the phone call, didn't get it. So I had to fly out. So that was tough. But as you mentioned earlier.
How long ago was that?
Maybe about 8 years ago, seven, eight
oh,
years ago.
Recent, okay.
But the pilot got made and never got picked up.
Oh, right. So it would have.
So there you go.
Your hopes would have been dashed at some point.
Of course they do. George Clooney did 17 pilots before he did the pilot for ER. 17 times he auditioned, got the gig, shot the pilot, didn't get picked up. 17 before he did ER.
Ah, that's gutting. That was hard to come back, but you had to.
But you mentioned it earlier on when are you worried about reviews? No. So you have to, that was the great training I got as a sales rep.
And as we know, you've had much worse things happen in your life.
Exactly.
You're going to be ready for anything, really.
Exactly. Well, the next day you do another audition, and then, I'm a great believer in what's meant for you won't pass you by, so just keep going. That's all you can do.
I hate that phrase.
I know.
Passion.
But it's right.
That's why you won't pass you by.
That's meant for you.
I won't pass you by. So it won't pass me by. It'll knock on the door.
That wasn't meant for you. Yeah.
Really good things for this year. You have 2 TV series and a film in post-production. Tell us about Lockerbie, first of all.
Yeah, the trailer actually dropped for that yesterday. It's out on the 2nd of January on Sky Atlantic and Peacock. Lockerbie, A Search for Truth. It's Colin Firth, 6-part drama about the events that happened from the night of the crash in Lockerbie right through the trial up to present day. It's phenomenal. Colin Firth is in it. And then I'm currently filming a series for Amazon. Young Sherlock, which is directed by Guy Ritchie.
Very excited about this.
Hero Fiennes is playing young Sherlock. Max Irons plays the older Holmes brother. Great cast in
That's
there.
Of the Cusack dynasty.
Correctamundo.
Max Irons.
Lovely fella. Lovely cast, actually. So we're shooting that at the moment. That's 8 1-hours for Amazon. That's out next year.
Are you in much of that? You get a script and go, how many episodes am I
in?
I think I'm in
3, if not 4 episodes out of the 8. Yeah, yeah. But
is that the first thing you do as an actor? You get paid per episode.
Well, yeah, you do. Yeah, you get paid for 8 days. You turn up. So you're going, please give me 37 days. Crikey, I only got 9. But anyway, that's what you do.
That's very exciting. When is that coming out? Young Sherlock?
I'd say it'll be next spring, summer maybe. Maybe next autumn.
Massive marketing around that.
And then a movie coming up as well, which is great.
Well, this sounds great because it's Richard Linklater, a big movie fan will know that mad thing he did with Boyhood, which I think he followed a kid, an actor growing up 21 years.
He also directed School of Rock.
School of Rock, I know. Yeah. He does all amazing. These kind of, so Blue Moon is this one, and that was made here.
That was shot in Ardmore Studios during the summer, 15 days. Shot a feature film in 15 days. Incredible.
That was exhausting.
Yeah. Well, not for me. For Ethan Hawke, it was. He was in every scene. But it's Ethan Hawke, it's Andrew Scott, Bobby Cannavale, Margaret Qualley. And it basically takes place in Sardi's Restaurant on Broadway on the night of 31st of October 1943, which was the opening night of Oklahoma. And it's the after party.
Great. This is the actors world.
And one of the first shows I ever did was Oklahoma. Amazing. It's going to be a great movie. It's out next summer, I think.
That's Blue Moon.
Blue Moon.
God, you're having a great time.
Well, yeah, but I didn't work for 7 months last year because of the writer's strike and the actor's strike.
Okay. But we had productions in Ireland which weren't affected, but you were relying on the American
stuff. Well, I'm a member of SAG, so I couldn't do any American work. But anyway, they're the joys.
Loads of texts about Bachelor's Walk.
No, 24 years ago.
Is it? And people absolutely still love that show.
It's in black and white, yeah.
The scene, Simon and the Beekeepers in Bachelor's Walk.
Free the bees. Free the bees. Somebody had a t-shirt made of that once and sent it to me. Free the bees.
that's lovely to have. If things go wrong, you can sell that door to door in
Darndale.
There
you go. Yeah.
I loved Simon the Gang in Bachelor's Walk. That's Justin. Always love watching Simon Delaney. Bachelor's Walk all those years ago. Saw him in The Good Wife as well. He seems like a hard-working guy. Good luck. That could be nearly a dig, couldn't it? Seems like you have to work really hard.
He's right, I do.
Could you please tell Simon just how much he means to us here in Limerick? He's given tremendous support to my incredibly talented sister, Liv Monaghan, through spinning her on Sunday afternoon with Simon Delaney on Lyric. An absolute gentleman as well, as immensely gifted at everything he does. His voice is like velvet.
Oh, mercy for
that's for Eta in Limerick.
Thank you, Eta.
He was very moved.
What should I say? Thank you, Eta.
Oh, Simon's a lovely hairy, so I bet you'd love to run your hands. Give him a big 10-second hug.
She should get the audiobook watching over you. She'd love that.
You've obviously done...
I'm about to start recording that, yeah.
What is it about authors? They don't have the audiobook done. Obviously, you have to sell physical sales first. It must be a publishing
thing. I don't know. It's the way it goes.
Always love listening to Simon Delaney. He always makes me laugh. Has the true Dublin wit, says AD.
Says his wife. Always makes me laugh.
Well,
Lord.
Good luck to you, Simon Delaney.
Thank
Watching
you,
Over You is the book, and want to make sure I'm saying all the things here. Yes, in all good bookshops. Sunday afternoon with Simon Delaney's on Lyric 1 to 4. He does a 3-hour show.
Correct.
I don't know how you managed to do that.